Our epistle for this Feast of the Holy Family, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Brethren, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts, to that peace indeed you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by His grace. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 42 through 52. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And after they had fulfilled the days when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. And it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who were listening to him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, in sorrow thy father and I have been seeking thee." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And they did not understand the word that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and man. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, from Christmas to today, our attention has been directed towards the commandments, the first part of those commandments. First, what are the commandments? These are the things that are given to us by God that we must fulfill, obligations to God that we have. He commands us to. Last Sunday, of course, we talked about the second commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In the feast of Christmas and Epiphany, we definitely have the idea presented to us of adoration. We adore the only one true God. And of course, in the story of Epiphany, and also that of the first Christmas, we have given to us for our consideration the third commandment. To keep holy the Lord's Day. What makes the Lord's Day the Lord's Day? The Lord. And Christmas is the Lord's Day. And so was Epiphany. But what happened to those who had the opportunity? What we have in Bethlehem, no room. There's no time, no room. The only room is a cave. Those that were fulfilling their obligation and their duties, these were the ones that were given the message that the King of Kings was born in that cave, and they went and adored him. The wise men in the east were open to God's grace They came and they preached a gospel by what they were doing, by their example. And when Herod heard it and saw it, he was troubled, and so was all Jerusalem with him. And they went to the books, and they pinpointed the place where the Messiah was to be born. But yet, as Herod sends off the wise men and tells them to make careful inquiry, does he follow them? Does he go with them? How many of Jerusalem who were troubled with Herod about the news went to Bethlehem to find the child with the mother? There's an obligation that we have because we were made for one purpose, my dear friends in Christ, and that is to seek Christ, to seek God, to be one with him. Of course, today we have the fourth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. The longest sermon that our Lord ever spoke, or ever gave, I should say. The most sublime. A sermon of 30 years. I should not just say 30 years, but it was unique in its 30 years in that it was silent. He lived 33 years. Actually, he still gives us that very same sermon. He hasn't stopped. The sermon of his example says it in one sentence in Scripture. And he was subject to them. He, who was he? He was the God made man. God made man. The incarnation. He had the ability to create and preserve his own mother from original sin and to create her spotless. He made the commandments. In him is heaven. And yet, he was subject to them. One was just his foster father. Wasn't even his actual father, for his actual father was God the Father. Saint Joseph was his foster father. But he was subject to them. If that example isn't sublime enough, how about the example that we have if through the eyes of faith we see God obeying the sinful instrument of the priest at the altar when he is called down, and the transformation of transubstantiation takes place with the bread and wine becoming the body and blood of Christ? What an amazing sermon. An example. What is that sermon? It's a sermon that all true authority comes from God. It must be recognized, honored, and obeyed. Primarily of children towards their parents. But as much as there is an obligation of children towards their parents to love, honor, respect, and obey their parents, and those who represent their parents, there is an obligation of parents towards their children to teach their children the laws of justice and charity and purity, and to make sure that in their children's lives they have equated proper God in his right, is in his right place. And that is something that must happen consistently. Otherwise, you have failed in your obligation of representing he who you represent with the authority that you have. We have spouses towards each other. We have relationships like teachers and students and that whole relationship, and vice versa. The obligations that they have towards each other. Bosses and employees, citizens towards their civil authority. Even Christ acknowledged the civil authority, didn't he? Take a look at the gospel and when our Lord was approached by Pontius Pilate. Remember what he says to him when Pontius Pilate gets a little irritated because Christ was not going to answer the abuse of Pontius Pilate. He says, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to set you free?" And our Lord answers and says, "You would have no power over me, not unless it hasn't been given to you from above." The love, honor, respect, and obedience must be interior as well as exterior. In order for us to be proper in our fulfillment of this commandment of God. The moral theology in Baltimore Catechism for parents, it talks about that obligation to be consistent in teaching God's place in life and to teach as Christ has taught us by example. Primarily, words are good too. Instruction, caring, and communication, but example is the best. On this Feast of the Holy Family, my dear friends in Christ, let us consider our obligations. What obligations we have to the authority that's in our lives. How we have fulfilled that obligation, or maybe in a way that we should or could fulfill it better. Let us make that resolution today. But not just for the sake of fulfilling an obligation. But as with all obligations, we should strive to fulfill them because they're God's will. And in fulfilling them, we have an opportunity to prove to the good Lord that indeed we do love Him. And we want to be a part of His order and promote that order on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.